fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Each and every one of you. Christ is risen. Yes, he is risen indeed. This is The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, coming to you on this Easter Monday, the octave of Easter. It's just one big day, this eight-day festival of faith. And what an Easter it was for us here at Relevant Radio on The Cale Clark Show, because right after the Easter Vigil on Saturday night in Toronto, Tammy Peterson, wife of very popular author, podcaster, and professor Dr. Jordan Peterson, entered the Catholic Church. And I sat down with the Petersons right after the Easter Vigil. She had just received her first communion, Tammy, and she had some incredible insights on faith, as did Jordan, who's on his own journey, of course. And you may have received this video in your email if you're on our email list for Relevant Radio. I encourage you to sign up for that. How do you do that? Just go to the Best of the Week on the Relevant Radio app and make sure you get those emails and you'll be automatically included. You can check out the video on our website, on our app, on our YouTube channel as well. So grateful that Dr. Jordan Peterson retweeted the article and video that we posted. And so far, just based on his retweet alone, it's been viewed almost well over 500,000 times. It's well over 600,000 now. And I would assume that by now, probably close to 1 million people have seen this video. And these are souls. These are real people, real lives that have been touched by their journey. So what we're going to do today on The Cale Clark Show is simply this. We're going to share with you this interview that I had with Jordan and Tammy Peterson. Plus, I want to get your reaction to it. This is your chance to chime in. Tell me what you thought, how it touched you. And tell me about your Easter journey this year as well. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. Toll free on The Cale Clark Show, our listener line, sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters. Plus, you can also email the program. The address is Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com. And find me on the X app as well. My handle is at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. So once again, we're going to share this interview with you. And as you're listening, you can call in. I want to get your thoughts on this. So buckle up for my interview with Jordan and Tammy Peterson right now.
Hi, this is Cale Clark from Relevant Radio. I'm just about to sit down with Tammy and Jordan Peterson at Holy Rosary Church in Toronto. The Easter Vigil has just concluded, and Tammy has been received into the Catholic Church. Let's talk to them about both of their spiritual journeys. I'm here with Tammy and Jordan Peterson. The Easter Vigil has just concluded, and Tammy, you're absolutely glowing, like you're incandescent spiritually. What was the night like for you?
Well, it was a beautiful service, and I thought Father Peter, he put together many people from the congregation to come up and speak, which I think was very generous, and also kept, you know, the momentum going, because you go through all the stories. You really tell the whole story of the Bible through the seven people who come up, and it started out in the dark. The last year we did that at a monastery in Austria.
In Austria?
Yeah, Jordan and I were staying in a monastery. We look out, hey, they're lighting a fire down there. I wonder what that's all about. No, I think we were told what it was about.
I think we were.
Yeah, we were told what it was about. But it was new to us. We'd never been to the Easter Vigil before, and it was gorgeous. It was a big fire, and they sang, and then we all lit candles and went in.
Monastery?
5 weeks.
5 weeks.
Jordan said, how long were we there? 10 days? I said, no, we were there for 5 weeks.
It was that good.
It's beautiful. It's 800 years old. Staggeringly beautiful.
Right.
Heiligenkreuz, it's called. Yeah, a very conservative Catholic monastery.
And speaking of what Tammy was saying, just for you, listening to all the readings, kind of experiencing salvation history, as one scholar says, the Mass is where written text becomes living word. Just hearing all those who wrestled with God through the centuries, all those readings, how did that impact you, Jordan?
You mean tonight or
tonight?
In general? Tonight. Well, as far as I was concerned tonight, this was a night for Tammy. She's put a lot of work into this, a lot of preparation. It's not a trivial decision. It's not a whim of any sort. It's the culmination of years of effort, particularly focused effort in this regard in the last 5 years. And it's been really good for her so far. I mean, the whole process has opened up a number of adventures for her. She's certainly right from the beginning when she started to use the rosary. That was very helpful to her when she was very ill. And then she made a very good friend. And, you know, it's been a sequence of expanding opportunities for her. And there's a lot of public interest in what she's doing, which is
interesting
and unexpected in many, many ways, but also extremely positive. And it's been very good for her. And she's seeing what's there, trying to shape it. And this is part of that. And great, far as I'm concerned.
And you're right, Jordan. So many people are interested, millions of people interested in your story.
Uh-huh.
Having been given 10 months to live, the power of the rosary. We spoke about that last time you were with us on Relevant Radio. And now you've come home.
Uh-huh.
You've come home.
Uh-huh.
You were confirmed tonight, having been baptized before in another tradition. But did you take a confirmation name? It's a...
Mary.
You took Mary.
Yes, I was looking through and reading about different saints. And then I thought, really, what am I doing? Because obviously, this is Mary. When I was a little girl and I first went to the Protestant church, I looked around and thought, where's Mary? Hmm. So I've been looking for Mary my whole life. And I found her in the Catholic Church. I found her in the rosary.
Hmm.
And that made perfect sense. Of course, you know, and then having it have been my great-grandmother's rosary, that there was Catholicism in my background. Oh, yeah, okay, that makes sense. And my friend Queenie, you know, she stuck with me for 5 weeks in the hospital, prayed with me every day for 5 weeks. She was just saying tonight, so I prayed for 5 weeks with you. When you went to Pennsylvania for that last ditch attempt to save your life, you prayed Opus Dei, Novena for the sick for five days, and then you got better. And now it's been 5 years and you're entering the Catholic Church. She said, God's a poet.
And you started doing your podcast after your experience with the rosary and your...
Yeah. Well, we were going back on tour and I had been asking during the first tour what I was doing that was meaningful. I was just asking.
So we were talking about her podcast tonight, behind the altar, the stained glass.
When it was dark, there. You could see all the stained glass. It
you
was
could
beautiful.
See the Virgin Mary with the infant Jesus on her knee, on her lap, and then underneath that, the crucifix. And so it's very interesting symbolic portrayal, because Mary has to turn herself over to God, knowing that the destiny of her child is tragic.
Mm.
Right? But that's the story of mothers. Is the mothers,
yeah.
They to become a mother voluntarily means to turn yourself over to the will of God in a major way, because so much of what happens to you when you're a mother is beyond you. It's beyond you in every way. And then what happens to your child is beyond you too. And you have to give up your child to the world,
yeah.
Right? And that's, of course, what Mary does in spades. And that is the sacrifice of the mother. And so that image of Mary and the image of the crucifix, they make sense joined together in that way.
And one thing that you've said, Tammy, in the past is that when you were asked, you know, why the Catholic Church?
Uh-huh.
And you had said, to me, it's very similar to Noah's Ark. And we almost have to batten down the hatches because the storm's coming.
Right, right.
And we see this happening now in the West, don't we?
Yeah, we do. And we see people that we've been speaking to, intellectuals that we've been speaking to, who are now turning to the church.
People who have their eyes open understand that things are disturbed at a religious level. It's not merely political. The disturbance in our culture is extremely deep. It's fundamental.
Mm-hmm.
And people who are awake are seeing that more and more clearly. And that includes many people who've been on the atheistic or agnostic side. Ian Hersey Lee is a good example. Neil Ferguson, her husband, Douglas Murray, Joe Rogan for that matter, Russell Brand. These are surprising figures. This isn't what you'd expect. But the reason is they can see that the culture war goes all the way to the bottom. And it does. It's very, very deep division. It's not merely political. The political is just a manifestation of something that's much, much disturbed, much deeper. And the environmental movement, the same thing. I mean, I've been looking recently at the story of Elijah, who, of course, is the prophet who faces down the prophets of the God of nature.
Right.
That's Baal. Well,
mm-hmm.
most of the intellectual West worships Baal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's nature worship.
Yeah.
And it's making nature primary. And as Tammy said, when your orientation upward fails societally and psychologically, something else rises to fill that gap. Or you're fractured. You can be fractured too.
Yeah.
But nature worship is a dreadful malaise, and it's very attractive because nature is a very powerful force. It's easy to deify it, and it's easy to think you're moral when you're doing it.
Absolutely.
And then we end up sacrificing cows to change the weather.
Or babies to change the weather.
Yeah, well, that's right.
Yeah.
There's no question that the human person is a worshiping creature.
Uh-huh.
And if we don't worship the true and living God, we will worship something or someone else. It's ingrained in us.
Yeah.
What makes one not reach for God and reach into
Oh, there's lots of reasons.
Instead?
Well, whim is a good one. You know, the demand for immediate gratification is, that's sufficient, and it's easily rationalized. Why the hell shouldn't I get exactly what I want right now, regardless of the cost to anyone else?
Or even if your self-will, which might be for, you might be looking to other people to help other people, but you're still taking your guidance from what you think is the right idea, and that won't, it just won't bring you the response that you might have had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Power, people want power. And none of that needs any explanation.
Yeah.
It's like, why do people worship their hedonistic whims? Well, because they can get what they want right now, like a toddler. Why do they worship power? Well, because if you have power, you can force people to do your bidding. Actually, you force them to do the bidding of what's worst within you. And that's the rub. It's like, what do you want? It's like, what makes you think you are in control of that exactly?
That's what makes the crucifixion so interesting, because the one who had the ultimate power really laid it down and sacrificed himself. And I know that one thing that you did when you got married was that you promised each other that you would always tell the truth.
Uh-huh.
And you'd always search for the truth. And now, obviously, you feel that you've found the truth, and not just a set of propositions, a syllogism or something. It's a person who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Uh-huh.
And as you've watched her, Jordan, on this journey, does that create can you see yourself on this journey? Can you see yourself?
Well, Jordan...
Well, she's, you know, I'm married to her, so whatever happens to her happens to me. It's not like it's separable.
Yeah.
I think you describe her developing faith as the understanding of a relationship. I mean, what Tammy's told me is that she came to understand in the last few years the distinction between following what she believed to be right and looking for what's right. Those aren't the same thing. And that's a very subtle distinction. And I've watched her learn to make that distinction more and more accurately. I think she always did that in relationship to her children. And so, you know, that's a big deal, because Tammy always put what was good for her children before herself, her narrow self. And she found that to be a relief. She said when she first had kids that the fact that when we went to visit our relatives, for example, that their focus was now on her children was actually, you know, you could imagine that could be an insult to narcissism, but she found it a relief. And I think what's happened to her more recently is an expansion of that relief. Like the fact that, you know, her mantra for a while has been, it's an easy thing to be cliched, but it's not cliched because she's doing it seriously, which is to search for the next right thing to do, which is to feel out the circumstances, to see where you should, this is what happens when Moses crosses the Red Sea, to feel out where the solid ground is. And I watch what that's done for her, in my estimation, is it's lifted her out of possession by anything really other than the wish to aim up. I mean, I know you have to fight for that all the time, but so does everyone.
Well, I have to pray in the morning and orient myself properly every morning, because things will be calling to me that shouldn't be calling to me.
Yeah.
And so then I have to overcome that, clear my mind, and then start the day.
You're much more grateful, like habitually, and that's
and
been a practice.
My illness, that was gratitude came out of that largely, you know. But then the practice of gratitude has been come back to just my daily normal life, and that is a necessity to look for gratitude in every situation, to look for gratitude, to overcome anger and
resentment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gratitude is the opposite of resentment, and it's a good practice. There's everything to be resentful about, always.
No.
But, well,
it doesn't bring the next straight thing.
That's a good pathway to hell.
No, it doesn't bring the next straight thing.
No, that's for sure.
I want to pick up on that theme of the next right thing, and it kind of reminds me of a movie that my daughter, Michaela, likes to watch again and again and again, Frozen 2, and that's one of the big songs, the next right thing.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, consider yourself spared from that. But but having said that, with all right, this is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. We'll get right back to my exclusive interview with Jordan and Tammy Peterson, which took place right after the Easter Vigil in Toronto this past Saturday evening into Sunday morning. Tammy had just been received into the Catholic Church. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. 888-914-9149. I want your reaction to this interview. Are you a convert to the Catholic Church? Were you received this Easter? I want to say welcome home. Are you a revert like me? Welcome back home. Tell me about your experience, too. But I really want to know what you think about what Jordan and Tammy Peterson had to say. 888-914-9149. Also, I want you to spread the good word, the good news about this interview by using the Relevant Radio app. The story is right at the top. You can click on the banner. Colleen Sheena from Relevant Radio has written an incredible little article about it as well, which you can share. It's also on our YouTube channel. We want the good word of the gospel to get out to as many people as possible through Relevant Radio. Hey, just like Jordan Peterson retweeted this story, you can too. And now right back to my interview with Jordan and Tammy Peterson. With confirmation, and of course being confirmed now as a Catholic, and I always look at the word confirmation, right in the middle of that word is another word, firm. It's firming up your faith and really setting you on the loose for your specific mission in life that the Lord has given you in his vineyard. And so as you're looking to the future, what do you think the next right thing is for you to do? What do you think God's calling you to do now that you're in the church?
Well, that's interesting because I started a podcast, and that was when I started praying the rosary. So that's come since I had changed my focus largely. And I've gone on tour with Jordan and an active part by opening the shows and by doing the Q&A with that, and also telling stories on stage, which I'd never done before. So that's also very new.
The proverb work you're doing?
Oh, yeah, I just started the proverb. So now what I'm doing is I'm reading a proverb, recording a proverb, and then I'm asking the meanings of the proverbs and writing all of that down, and then putting in some key phrases and then speaking to the camera about what I think it means. And that's been an interesting project that's
just
getting going.
You're working with some musicians on that too?
Yeah, I have a musician and a producer who I'm working, my podcast producer, and a musician who Jordan and I produced a bunch of music when he was sick. He was too sick to do anything. So I said, why don't you take some of these old poems that you'd written and let's illustrate them, I think is what I suggested.
What
it began to be illustrated and then it turned into music. And we recorded 9 songs. So we have an album, really.
You got an album.
Wow. Yeah, but we haven't put the album out yet.
Taking the music world by storm. But I really love this concept of doing proverbs, because of course in Proverbs 31, that woman of great character is kind of seals off the end of that book. And when you read that, does that kind of fill you with excitement for the future? What
the proverbs?
Yeah, and what?
Oh,
what,
yeah. I mean, the proverbs they speak to me. But I have, and I don't know if this is true, but isn't the Psalms? It's for people who are trying to understand their faith, trying to, you know, get with their faith. Whereas the Proverbs, this is guidance through your faith and with your faith and to become more and to, you know, find your path forward. And I'm very interested in that. So we'll see what I find.
I want you to tell this concept of death and resurrection and new life. It really probably hit home for you very hard in December because you lost your dad, Del.
Yes.
On the same day your fourth grandson was born.
Yeah.
That's
was quite a day, yeah. And that baby came a month early. So that baby wasn't supposed to come that day.
Oh, really?
No. So when I called her to say that my dad was starting to go into his dying time, she said, you know, Mom, I think I'm showing. And I thought, oh, well, that's a surprise. Because so I think my dad left on the day that baby came. And
wow.
I'm very grateful to him because I learned a lot about grief over that next week. And it was complicated because...
Was it temptation to resent?
Yeah, it definitely was, because Jordan had to go back up and see his parents 3 days after my dad died. So he left me, but I had to go to the States. We'd already invited a friend down there who was there, and my daughter just had a baby. I thought, well, I should go back. So I went back, but of course, my daughter was in her bedroom with this new premature baby. She and her husband were just there, and they weren't. The door was locked. They were in there, and so I was alone, and I was praying and walking, but when I talked to Father Peter, I was truthful to him, and I said, I think I've been resentful this week.
Mm.
And he said, did you take that to prayer? And you know, and I had tried to take it to prayer, but there's something about sharing your sin with someone in good faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where God is going to be there, that made it obvious that I hadn't taken it to God. And at that moment, it seemed the exactly right next thing to do. And when I did it that evening, I felt completely different.
What did you do?
Well, any kind of emotions that I had been harboring were gone. I felt filled with love for my father, and I received his obituary in my email, and all I wanted to do was share it with everybody who might have known him. And I began to share it on Messenger, and I was thinking, oh, this is a person I knew. He knew my dad, and she knew my dad, and pretty soon it said spam, because it thought I was one of those, right? And I thought, oh dear. But then I felt compelled to go back in there, and I shared it with, it had to be 20 more people, and then it said spam again, and I thought, oh dear. But then I went back in again, and I think I shared it with between 40 and 60 people. And then I started getting these messages back, and it was like, oh, I remember your dad. He had such a good sense of humor, and he used to golf with my dad, and I started to cry, and I thought, oh, this is grief. This is proper grief. This is gratitude for my dad's life, joy in the celebration of who he was. But God has filled me with enough love that I want to share it with people. And then if they are healthy enough, they share it back with me. And that's how you get back from people, when you share without wanting anything in return.
No, the death and resurrection theme is relevant too, because you were so close to being dead. I mean, one of the things that we've talked about a lot is, well, like both of us feel that we live on borrowed time in some way, because we were both gone and here we are.
Yeah.
And so
we look at each other in the morning and go, huh, there you are.
Surprise, surprise.
There you are.
Here you are.
And so, you know, that's a new lease on life.
And so
one of the things that an experience like that does is, I mean, I don't think I took things for granted to particular. Well, that's not true. I took lots of things for granted. Things normally people take for granted, like being able to sit. And if you lose all that, then and things turn around, well, then you have a new life ahead of you.
And that's, you know, that it's a finite time that you have right then too. It's finite. Whatever you have is finite. So you better just, you know, be grateful for it and take as much joy in it as you can now, because really, you know, people say that in a way that it won't last, but it truly won't last. So get with it.
And I like how you've mentioned once again gratitude and Thanksgiving. It's so key and such an antidote to what's in the culture today. And of course, Eucharist also means Thanksgiving, as we know. And receiving your first Eucharist tonight, it's beautiful to look over and watch you as you're experiencing the Mass and receiving those sacraments for the first time. And we are thankful that you're in the Catholic Church. We're really excited about what God is doing in both of your lives in the future. And I want to thank you for taking the time on this night of nights to join us here on Relevant Radio. God bless you.
I hope it's helpful. God bless
you. Thank you, Tammy and Jordan Peterson. Happy Easter to you.
Happy Easter to you.
Happy Easter. That was my interview at right after the Easter Vigil, moments after Tammy Peterson was received into the Catholic Church, along with her husband, Dr. Jordan Peterson. I really want to get your reaction to this interview. 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. If you were welcomed into the Catholic Church this Easter, if you're a convert, welcome home. If you're a revert, welcome back home. Want to hear your story, your experience from this Easter as well. 888-914-9149. Right back with your phone calls on the Cale Clark Show right after this.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to the Cale Clark Show. And it's no joke. Jesus really did rise from the dead. This is absolutely the truth. 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. If you want to call in with a reaction to what you just heard, my exclusive interview with Dr. Jordan Peterson and his wife, Tammy. Tammy being received into the Catholic Church. She's a friend of the program. She was on back in November, and now her journey has come full circle. She's now officially a confirmed member of the Catholic Church, has received her first communion, and she's beginning her Catholic journey. Want to hear what you thought about what they had to say. 888-914-9149. Don't forget, you can also spread the good word about this interview. Go to the Relevant Radio app, find the story. Great story by Colleen Sheena. The video is embedded within. You can email it to your friends. You can share it on social media. Also, just click on the top banner for the interview. You can go to our YouTube channel as well, to our channel on X, on Facebook, and get the word out. And that's really what it's all about. And I just really appreciate the Petersons doing this, because it was an incredibly long day for them. And in fact, Tammy texted me earlier today and said, "Thank you so much, Cale. I was so tired by the time we had our interview, but it turned out great. Thanks for the opportunity to share the good news." And that's really one of the things that struck me about the Petersons, how generous they are with their time after the Mass, after the Easter Vigil. I mean, the church was packed. It was absolutely packed to the gills at Holy Rosary Church in downtown Toronto. And of course, everyone wanted to welcome Tammy into the church, a huge crowd of people, fans of Jordan, people who have read his books, his former students, colleagues were there, and they took time with everybody. They were so generous with their time. Some other media was there as well who wanted to talk to them, and then we sat down for our exclusive interview, and that was the first time I'd ever met Jordan Peterson, and I gotta say, I really liked him as a person. He just came across as so genuine, and obviously just fiercely intelligent. He's got these piercing blue eyes, and you just know the wheels are always cranking behind those eyes, and he is really, really considering the question of faith. Obviously, his new book is coming out. He's on tour supporting that right now. I believe the book comes out in November. It's called We Who Wrestle with God, and I very much look forward to reading that and to talking to him hopefully about that in the future as well. But I think that they're really passionate about the truth. They're passionate about seeking the truth. As we talked about in our conversation, that was part of their wedding vows, that they, I don't know whether they wrote their own vows when they got married, but this idea that they would always tell the truth to one another and be sincere. So they're looking for the truth, and they're also really passionate about each other. When you watch the video on our Relevant Radio app, on our website, you'll see this. We're on our YouTube channel. You'll see we have some beautiful clips of Jordan and Tammy interacting with each other during the Mass and just looking at the stained glass windows and some of the great art that was there. And just, you can just tell how much Jordan really loves his wife. He absolutely adores her. And Tammy loves him so much. It's so nice to see a married couple so in love with each other after all those years. 888-914-9149. A few things really stood out to me just listening to that conversation again. Dr. Peterson said this, quote, "The disturbance in our culture is happening at a religious level. It's far deeper than political. In fact, the political happenings are just a manifestation of something much, much deeper." I just love that line from Dr. Peterson. And Tammy spoke about, hey, when I wake up in the morning, the things I'm drawn to, I shouldn't be drawn to. I mean, we all have to fight against concupiscence, even after baptism, no question about it. And it's part of the struggle. To sainthood, 888-914-9149, Scale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Want your reaction to my exclusive interview with Jordan and Tammy Peterson. Let's go to the phones right now. Let's go to Dee Dee. Welcome back, Dee Dee, in Phoenix, Arizona. Happy Easter, Dee Dee.
Well, thank you, Kale. Okay, I'm going to start my comments and my question with duh, D-U-H. Uh-huh. I'm a Catholic, and my comment is, I don't know who they are. Okay. And then my question is, why is her Catholic conversion so important, and why is the Catholic media focusing on it so much? That's it.
Yeah, that's a really good question. Obviously, everybody's conversion is incredibly important. Everybody's soul is equally important. God loves all of us the same. There's no question about it. And that's why we also want to hear your stories as well. 888-914-9149. If you came into the church this Easter at the vigil, if you were baptized, if you received confirmation, the Eucharist, want to welcome you home. If you're a revert, welcome back home. And glad that you are home. Want to hear about your journey as well. And so I think with the Petersons, and obviously if you hadn't heard of Jordan Peterson and Tammy Peterson, that's amazing, because you're obviously living a media-free lifestyle, I guess you could say. And Jordan Peterson is a hugely influential public intellectual. And oftentimes what happens when people like him are looking at the question of faith, it gets other people thinking about it. It gets other people talking about it, because they have a voice, they have a platform, and people listen to what they have to say and they take it seriously. So if he's taken the question of faith seriously, I'll encourage many others to do so. And that's the bottom line. And so we need to pray for him, and we need to pray for Tammy on her journey as well. And she's come into the church, and I really enjoy talking to Tammy too, because she is such a sweet person and so sincere. And obviously her journey, especially with suffering, because we all have crosses to carry in life, and her cancer diagnosis, the fact she was given 10 months to live, things looked incredibly bleak for her, and the power of the rosary. We talked about that a lot more in November when she was on the program, and maybe I'll get producer Patrick Alog to put a link in the archives, and also from the archives into our show notes for today, so people can check that out. That really touched a lot of people when she was with us before on Relevant Radio. And I want to thank you for your call, Dee Dee, and God bless you. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. Let's go to Andrew in Dayton, Ohio. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Kale. How's it going?
It's going great. It's going great.
Yeah, me too. I was just calling in to say, I also joined the church the same evening that Tammy Peterson did. It's funny because you were just mentioning, like, oh, if you can convert it as well.
Yeah.
It was the journey. And I actually found her journey quite inspiring. It's like, oh, I kind of thought it was interesting, because as I was considering the Catholic Church, she found out it was, and it encouraged me to, you know, go deeper in my faith, and I'm loving it.
Oh, that's incredible. And tell me about your Easter Vigil experience. What was that like for you?
It was great. Like, a little long, but that's kind of expected. It was really beautiful. Like, you know, I was going to Mass for a while beforehand, but the Easter Vigil is just something else. It was really beautiful.
It really is. I love the Easter Vigil, Andrew. It's off the charts for me. It's by far my favorite liturgy of the churches here. I just love all the readings going through salvation history. It's really the greatest Bible study in the world. I absolutely love the vigil for so many reasons. Obviously, starting out in darkness, mirroring, you know, the darkness that we're in with sin, original sin, actual sins we've committed, until Christ rises from the dead and sets us free. And Andrew, I want to say, hey, welcome home. Thanks for calling in. Hope to hear from you again soon here on the Cale Clark Show. 888-914-9149. If you want to react to the interview with Jordan Peterson, if you want to share your own story of conversion or maybe reversion this Easter, if you are new to the Catholic Church, hey, we are so glad to have you on board. 888-914-9149. I want to answer an email question that has come in, and this is from Courtney in Chicago, and she asks this question. Hi, Kale. Happy Easter to you and your family. Thank you very much. I appreciate that, Courtney. You've talked a lot on both of your shows, on the Cale Clark Show and on the Faith Explained Show, about the historical evidence for the resurrection of Jesus at Easter. You've talked about the minimal facts argument and things like that. How can you decide what's historical and what is not? That's such a really good question, Courtney. I really, really appreciate that. One of the things that I like to go to all the time during Easter, when we're trying to explain the resurrection to a skeptic, and check out the Faith Explained program today, dealing with a message I got from someone who, you know, was a little bit skeptical about Easter. How do I explain the evidence for the resurrection? This is really a big part of my story in coming back to the church as a revert, because everyone's doubts are different, but my doubts were all based around history. How do I know that Jesus existed? How do I know that he really rose from the dead? As St. Paul says in the New Testament, if Christ hasn't been raised from the dead, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. We're all just wasting our time here. He's refreshingly honest about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, a wonderful chapter on the resurrection. But usually when I talk about the resurrection, I like to start with what's called the five minimal facts argument. And this comes to me from one of my professors. He's one of the world's leading experts on the resurrection, maybe the leading expert on the resurrection and its research in the world, Dr. Gary Habermas. And I really enjoyed having him as a professor. Since the year 1975, he's put together this, he just keeps collecting all these books and articles about the resurrection. So far, he's got over 3,400 books and journal articles written on it, in English, French, German. And what he found out was pretty amazing, that all of these scholars who look into the question of, did Easter really happen? The resurrection, was it a historical event? Whether these scholars were atheists, whether they were agnostics, whether they belonged to another faith tradition, whether they were Catholics, whether they were Protestant Christians, didn't matter. The vast majority of all scholars held to these five historical facts about Easter. These things happened. So the question is, how do you explain the data? How do you explain what we've got? So what are the five minimal facts that virtually everybody agrees on? Number one, Jesus died by crucifixion. Jesus was publicly crucified on a Roman cross. And this is noted by some non-Christian historians of the times, by the way. They had no axe to grind. They're not trying to prove the faith. They don't believe in Jesus. But they note this, the public death of Jesus. Number two, Jesus' tomb was found to be empty on Easter Sunday morning. This is a historical fact that the tomb is, I would say, this is the one of the five that's not unanimously accepted by all scholars, but again, the vast majority still do accept this one. Number three, Jesus' disciples believed that he was physically resurrected from the dead. Now, again, this isn't saying that all these scholars think that that's what happened, but they do admit that Jesus' disciples believed that he was physically resurrected and that he appeared to them alive. The fourth thing is that St. Paul, who is, of course, one of the most vehement oppressors of the early church, the Christian killer, Saul of Tarsus, the Pharisee, became the most killer evangelist for Jesus Christ. And incredible. He certainly had no motive to believe the resurrection. He was trying to stamp out the Christian movement as quickly as possible. He becomes a convert and an apostle because of his experience with the risen Christ. And by the time he encountered him, of course, Jesus has ascended into heaven. But it's another question you can ask me about. And then the last thing is the conversion of skeptics, like James, the relative of Jesus, who did not believe in Jesus during his earthly ministry. And he becomes gets a special resurrection appearance, according to St. Paul, by the way. And he also becomes the bishop of Jerusalem and eventually a martyr as well. So how do you decide, how do scholars know, to sort of answer your question, Courtney, how do scholars know that these facts are historical? You say, okay, those are five minimal historical facts that everybody accepts, and you have to explain these somehow. I think the only thing that explains all these five facts is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That's the only thing that can account for all the evidence. And so scholars look at something called historical criterion to sort of measure what's historical and what's maybe just hearsay. Well, the first thing is multiple attestation. you see the event talked about in different sources, two or more independent sources. Now, if you only have one source, that doesn't mean it's not historical, but if more than one source writing independently of each other is talking about the same thing, that's pretty good evidence. Hostile sources, enemy attestation. If your enemy admits part of your argument to be true, like if you're a lawyer and this happens to you in a court of law, that's gold. That is absolute gold. And we have the enemies of the church admitting the tomb is empty. This is part of the gospel reading from today at Mass, actually from Matthew. If things are embarrassing to your point of view and you admit that's a good mark of historicity. Like the fact that women discovered the empty tomb. Women's testimony, unfortunately, wasn't worth anything in a Jewish court of law in the first century. They weren't taken seriously as witnesses. If you're inventing a story, you'd have Peter be the first to encounter the resurrected Jesus, maybe some of the other apostles. But no, they have women discovering the empty tomb, like Mary Magdalene encountering Jesus risen alive. Eyewitness testimony is also really, really important. If you have eyewitness testimony of the actual events, you're on pretty solid historical ground. And then closeness in time, and this gets back to the eyewitnesses as well. The closer that your accounts of the event are written to the actual event, the better the odds are that they're going to be legit from a historical perspective. If you're writing decades later, memories can fade. So we have very, very early eyewitness testimony in the New Testament of the resurrection. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149. Let's go to Joan. You know what? Joan, just hang on for a second. We got to take a quick break. My producer, Patrick Alog, is screaming in my ear. We got to take a break. So we'll be right back. 888-914-9149.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, welcome back to the program. 888-914-9149 is the number to call toll free to talk to me. 888-914-9149. We're talking about, and you heard a clip from our viral video, my exclusive interview with Jordan and Tammy Peterson when Tammy entered the church during the Easter Vigil. Let's go to the phones right now. Get your reaction. Joan in Virginia. Hello, Joan. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Cale. It's good to talk to you. And I wanted to say that I thought the interview was very inspiring for me. I've been a Catholic all my life, and I felt like this Lent was one of my best Lents, in part due to following Relevant Radio with all the programming and the family rosary at night. But yes, the thing that I really liked about that interview is when Jordan Peterson indicated that Tammy, this was a decision, a fully informed decision that she was making over time. And then, you know, that it wasn't just some kind of emotional thing because of her healing or anything like that.
Yeah,
it was, you know, she'd really worked hard. And then whenever she said that every morning she starts with prayer so that things don't, you know, interfere. And I just feel like that it's a great witness. One of my favorite times of the church year is actually after Easter when we read all the scriptures in the book of Acts.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like, you know, that interview is really a great evangelization tool. So I really wanted to, you know, thank you for that, and thank Relevant Radio.
Well, thank you, Joan, for your kind words, and I so appreciate you calling in to say that. And yeah, it is true that, and Jordan did allude to this in the interview, that Tammy had considered this for a long, long time. And I think when we come into the church, too, you always hear about people who say, oh, I read my way into the church. And yeah, people do read a lot, and they certainly read the Gospels, they certainly read the New Testament and other books about the faith as well. Especially that's true among the intellectual set. They do a lot of research, but there's always a person involved as well. And Tammy talked about her friend Queenie, and I know Queenie. I've met Queenie. Not only did she pray with her when she was ill in the hospital near death for 5 weeks in a row, every day praying the rosary with her, but Queenie's also helped her to be formed in the faith. And And I think that we always need that guidance. And the Acts of the Apostles is a perfect example of that. We heard the Pentecost sermon of Peter today in the readings. The Ethiopian eunuch and Philip has to hop into his chariot and explain what he's reading as he's got the scriptures. How can I understand this unless someone explains it to me? And that's the role of the church. And the church is mother and teacher, mater et magistra. And the church teaches in a lot of different ways, not only through her official teaching magisterium, but also through you and I, who can help to evangelize our friends, our family members. And this is what it's all about as it spreads from person to person. The great gospel as we celebrate that this Easter with the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Joan, thank you so much for your phone call and for your support of the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Call back sometime soon, you hear? All right, let's go to Sergio in New Jersey. Hello, Sergio.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing well.
I wanted to make a comment about Jordan. I've been watching Jordan on his podcast and other interviews, and he, you know, my feeling is that he's on the verge of converting, but he just can't submit to God, in the sense that I feel that he's just too smart for his own good. You know what I mean? As someone who grew up Catholic and went to Catholic grammar school, high school, I've always believed in God. And I grew up in the 70s. I'm 60 years old now. Mm-hmm. And I've watched how, you know, as I grew into college and growing up in those times, and, you know, and I became educated, I thought that I was smart. And then you realize you finally realize that you're not as smart as you think you are. And I wanted to make a comment as to a recommendation for Jordan is to read The Imitation of Christ, which I've read now several times over, and I realize that nothing in this life, no material things, no intellectualism will ever bring you to the light that God and the church and the fact that Jesus is risen, and that is the proof. You know, he's actually watched a miracle occur in his life by watching Tammy heal her, and he's still fighting it. And, you know, all we can do is pray for him and hope that he will see the light, because he's on the verge. And if you've seen his interviews, he gets very emotional when he talks about it.
Yeah.
And so he's there. He just needs a little push. That's all he needs.
Well, let's pray for him. And maybe, you know, the Holy Spirit will give him that push, if you will. And when he's ready, of course, because God is a gentleman lover. He will never force anyone into his church. It has to be a free choice. Love has to be free. But I would disagree with you, Sergio, about he didn't strike me. I don't know him very well, obviously. I'd only met him for the first time. But I did get to spend a few minutes talking with him before the interview. And I found him to be very, very humble in his approach. He didn't strike me as an arrogant person at all. I think he's very learned, but he wears it very lightly, I think. And even someone as great as St. Thomas Aquinas, he had this mystical experience with the Lord towards the end of his life. And he said, hey, everything I've ever written is nothing but straw. I mean, so we all have to take a posture of humility, obviously, before God. But I do think the intellectual life is a part of it. It's faith and reason. We need both wings to fly, like St. John Paul II said. And God gave us these minds to love him with and to submit. Yeah, we do have to submit our intellect to his word and to his truth. But sometimes just going through that process, it helps us to do that. And I think that's exactly what he's doing right now. So yeah, I do agree. Let's pray for Jordan. And we're certainly so thankful that Tammy has come in. And I just think it's awesome that he supports her on her journey. I was just really inspired by them, by, again, their passionate search for the truth. So I just ask you once again to please share this interview with your friends, with your family on social media. You can email it. You can use the Relevant Radio app, relevantradio.com, or YouTube channel, all of our social media on Facebook, on the X app. We are there for you. This is Cale Clark. We'll be back for much, much more tomorrow on the Cale Clark Show, also on the Faith Explained, 1230 Central. All of our programs available in podcast form after the fact on the Relevant Radio app. Patrick Alog produced, sitting in for Jim Schaefer today. Miranda Sinceros took your phone calls. Stay tuned for Timory. She's back. Followed by the Family Rosary across America. I'm Cale Clark signing off. God bless you. Happy Easter, everyone. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.